Good evening, and welcome to our worship service on this Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, of course, marks the beginning of Lent, a time where we contemplate our Savior's suffering and death for our sins. We begin our worship service tonight with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we enter this holy season of Lent with sorrow and fear, but also with awe and wonder. As we consider your suffering and death, make us to see that our own sins are the cause of it all, and lead us to genuine sorrow and repentance. Also, Lord, lead us to see your incredible love for us, and move us to marvel at your willing sacrifice, so that we may worship and praise you from our whole heart. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for tonight is Jesus, I Will Ponder Now.
Jesus.
I invite you to please rise. We follow the order of service for this Ash Wednesday. As printed for you in your service bulletin, we begin on the top of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that you would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, renew us by your Spirit, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Our responsive psalm for this evening are the words of Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. They're printed for you in your bulletin on page 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous Spirit. We pray. O Lord, we have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Wash away our sins according to your unfailing love. Fix our eyes on our Savior's cross, that we may find joy in the forgiveness he has won for all humanity. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The bulletins are right there, right in the front. We begin our Passion History readings with part 1, printed for you on page 5, and it goes through page 7 in the bulletin. This is a harmony of the gospel accounts of Jesus' suffering and death, which we'll be reading through during the Lenten season. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter answered and said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter spoke more vehemently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. They went over the brook Kidron, and they came to a garden named Gethsemane. When he came to the place, Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he was withdrawn from the others about a stone's throw. And he began to be sorrowful, troubled, and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther, and he knelt down. He fell to the ground on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" He said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing and ready, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying the same words, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words once more. Then he came to his disciples the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. Behold, the hour has come. It is at hand. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. Behold, he who betrays me is at hand." Now Judas, one of the 12 who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place, for Jesus often met with his disciples, there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and elders of the people, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons, swords and clubs. And immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, a great multitude came, and the one called Judas went before them. Now he who betrayed Jesus had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely." Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Then when he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him. He went up to him and said to him, "Hail, Master," and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come? Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then those who were around Jesus saw what was going to happen. They said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly Simon Peter, one of those who stood by with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" In that hour, Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. All this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." The scriptures must be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Here ends our Passion History reading. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. I invite you to please rise. For our confession of faith this evening, we'll be using the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism. That's on page 7 in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Savior, When in Dust to Thee.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our for our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Jesus left and went out to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. His disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Keep praying that you may not enter into temptation." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went to the disciples and found them sleeping as a result of sorrow. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and keep praying so that you may not enter into temptation." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What is your favorite name for our Savior? Chances are it's probably Jesus. It's a name that for many of us has been dear to our hearts and our lives since we were young enough to be able to sing the words, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's a name that we hear and read often, whether it's here in church or in our own devotions and Bible readings at home. Just doing a quick search on the name of Jesus in the New Testament, I found that it's used 980 times in the New King James Version. So, not surprisingly, Jesus is the name that's used far most often for the Son of God in the Bible, which does make sense since it is actually his given name. But why is that name of Jesus so precious to us? Well, first of all, it was a name given by God the Father himself. That was the name he picked for his son. He sent an angel both to Mary and to Joseph to tell them, "This is the name I have chosen for my son, Jesus." Secondly, it's because this name fits. You might already know this, but the name Jesus means Savior. A name that's just five short letters, but in that name, God's plan of salvation is simply described. Best of all, we associate God's wondrous love with this name. How can you hear or use Jesus' name without thinking about his love, without thinking about the salvation that he won for us? This year in our Lenten services, we're going to look at some of the names of our Savior's wondrous love, names that are linked to that wondrous love. And the name we will start with tonight is, of course, the well-known name of wondrous love, Jesus. Did you notice that's the very first word in our text for tonight? First word we read was Jesus. What is Jesus doing the night of our text as he and his disciples head to an olive garden or olive grove in the garden called Gethsemane, a place on the Mount of Olives? I want you to picture with your mind's eye this scene amongst the shadows, probably in the darkness of those olive trees that night before he was crucified, as I read to you again some of the verses from our text. He, Jesus, withdrew from them, the disciples, about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Matthew's gospel tells us that he fervently prayed these words to his heavenly Father 3 times. What's going on here in this serene, peaceful garden scene that would cause our Savior so much anguish? What is this cup that Jesus is pleading with his Father to take away? Well, it was, of course, the cup of suffering. The cup of suffering that was the payment for all of human sin throughout history. And what a deep and dreadful cup that was. Every hurtful word, every wicked act, every greedy, lustful, hateful thought, all of it, your sins, my sins, every single sin ever, distilled like poison in that cup of suffering that Jesus was about to drink to the bottom on the cross. We can't even fathom the anguish Jesus was going through as he faced the waves of hell about to break over him the next day. Is there any wonder that he turns to his heavenly Father and pleads, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me." This scene we view once again on this Ash Wednesday in the shadows of Gethsemane is a vivid reminder of the seriousness of sin. We can just look and listen to what our Savior went through. And can we ever consider again our sins being somehow insignificant? Something that doesn't really matter that much in the sight of God? But how often don't we just brush our sins off as not really a big deal? We're so used to swimming in our own sinful flesh, in the sinful world that we live in, that we can convince ourselves that it's not really that bad, or we make excuses. Well, everyone else is doing these things. Who really cares? Can we again shrug our shoulders in those daily temptations to sin, those pet sins of ours that are as common to us by this point as breathing? This scene that we see in Gethsemane reminds us that sin is serious. It is deadly serious. Each one of them helped fill that dreadful cup of which Jesus spoke. Each one of them made the Savior bleed. What we see in this scene, more than just the seriousness of sin and the unimaginable suffering it caused Jesus, our Savior, as he paid the full punishment of our sins to the very last drop, we see something very important. We see, as we ask the question, what is Jesus doing here? Why is he here? Why is the one innocent man who ever lived willing to shoulder the punishment for all our sins, for the sins of all human history? Why is he willing to go through this plan of his heavenly Father's to save us? When we hear Jesus plead, "Take this cup away from me," and yet he adds the words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done," do we really have to ask why? It has to be because he loves us. He loves us with a love that if I were to preach 1,000 Ash Wednesday sermons, I couldn't begin to adequately describe that deep love he has for us. His name fits beautifully. Jesus, Savior. Jesus who loves fallen, sinful people like us with an incredible, indescribable, unexplainable love. Little Mikey sat at the dinner table and ended his prayer with these words, "Dear Lord, put the vitamins in the pie and the cake instead of in the cauliflower and the broccoli." We smile and we chuckle a bit at little Mikey's prayer, but how often don't our prayers resemble his? Lord, just give me the good stuff. Give me the things that are sweet. Give me the stuff that I like to taste, that I like to have. Leave out those things that are difficult, the things that don't taste good to me. But when God doesn't give us the sweetness, well, we love it when he does. We are very willing to say, "Thy will be done, Lord. Keep those blessings coming." But when he doesn't, when our health disappears, when our family disappoints, when our plans don't work out, when our checkbook doesn't balance, when friends prove unfaithful, when the words of gossip wound us deeply, when our faith is belittled, when we're insulted, when the cross we're called to bear bears down on our shoulders and seems to be too heavy for us to carry, what do we do then? Does our response shift to not your will, but mine be done? And then does our praying turn into something more like demanding things from God? Well, walk with me back another time to the shadows of Gethsemane once again and marvel at Jesus' words, his words of wondrous love. This time he shows his love for his heavenly Father. Three times Jesus asked his Father to remove this load of suffering, to find another way. When the answer was no, look at what our Savior did, or look at what he didn't do. There was no murmuring. There was no questioning or railing against the Father's will. No, why, God? No questioning or resisting his wisdom or his plan. There were no doubts about the Father's love or dissatisfaction with the Father's way. Instead, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus' perfect love for his heavenly Father allowed him to surrender completely to the Father's way and his Father's will, even when it led from Gethsemane's shadows to Calvary's cross. When we find that God's work in our lives at times is painful, how do we react? Do we rebel? Do we fight against his will, even accusing him of not caring at all, or at least doubting his wisdom and his ways? Why are you doing this, God? Don't you know I'd be a much better Christian or a much better husband or wife or pastor if you didn't give me these challenges, difficulties, and burdens to bear? We've all been there, haven't we? And it's especially in those times that we need to look again to our Savior Jesus in that garden that Thursday evening of Holy Week. He was there driven by his love for us. He was there to earn forgiveness for our self-willed rebellion against God, our resistance to God's perfect will. And those drops of blood that dripped from his forehead that night were a painful preview of how far his love was willing to take him. Not just to Gethsemane, but all the way to the cross, to pay our debt of sin and to wipe our sin slate completely clean. Look again at our Savior in the shadows of that garden and find in him the power to submit to our Father's will. There is nothing wrong with praying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me." We know there's nothing wrong with it because Jesus prayed that prayer. But let's be sure, like Jesus, to add the words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And Jesus, our Savior, our friend, our helper, will give us the strength we need to follow our loving Heavenly Father's perfect will in our lives, just as Jesus once received strength from his Heavenly Father. Remember that even though the Heavenly Father's answer was no, what did he do for Jesus that night? Our text says in verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. We call him Jesus. That is our favorite name for him. God help us to never forget why. It's because of his wondrous love that brought him down to earth to be our rescuer in our greatest need, our Savior from all our sins. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, your name is a treasure to us. It is a reminder that you are our Savior. We come before you with humble and contrite hearts, entering this day, the holy season of Lent, to meditate upon the bitter sufferings and death that you, the innocent Lamb of God, endured for us. With deep sorrow, we confess that also it was our sins, which justly anger God and call for punishment, that were the cause of your suffering and dying. God chose to spare us by laying upon you the iniquity, the sins of us all. And so, dear Savior, it is with mixed feelings we consider your agony-filled death. For while we sorrow over our sins that caused it, we also rejoice over the salvation it brought us. We who by our sins have made ourselves God's enemies have been reconciled to him by your death. Forgiveness and eternal life is ours through you. Dear Jesus, we thank and praise you that you are also our heavenly physician, the one who heals us in every way. We pray that your healing hand and your comfort would be upon the following individuals we are praying for. Dear Lord, be with Michelle as she's undergoing surgery. Guide the hand of the surgeon and make her surgery successful if it is your will, and help her to recover fully. In her anxious hours, Lord, help her to trust in you. Dear Lord, we also ask you to be with Rose as she's discontinued her chemotherapy to help improve the quality of her life. Dear Lord, we ask you to be her comfort and her strength in what is a very difficult time for her and no doubt for her loved ones. Please be the one that she turns to for comfort and for the assurance of salvation when this life is over. Dear Lord, be with Jerry, who has had a long road with a knee injury. We pray for the successful surgery, if it's possible. We pray that you give the doctors who are looking at his knee the wisdom to do what's truly best for him. And if it is your will, Lord, help him to fully recover and to improve his quality of life as well. We praise you, dear Redeemer, for coming here as our brother to bring God's love and forgiveness to us sinners. We praise you for your own great love that made you lay down your life on the cross for us. Do not let our foolish and unworthy hearts rob us of this sweet love, but forgive our sins. Increase our faith, which through the Holy Spirit you have begun in us. Fill us then with your Holy Spirit, that he may purify to you a holy people who are zealous of good works. Since you died on the cross for all people and desire that everyone should know you have redeemed the whole world's transgressions, Use us in your kingdom to make known to others your way of peace and hope and salvation through you. Help them to know your mercy and your love. Help us to bear our crosses without complaining, as you so unselfishly bore your cross for us all. In all the issues of life, teach us to come to you, precious Savior, and to rest our burdens in the shadow of your cross. Their perpetual help and solace have been assured for us. Hear us for the glory of your name, and hear us now as we pray in your name the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, Go to Dark Assembly. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 11 in our bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to live by your word. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness. We pray this through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn for tonight is "What Wondrous Love Is This?" I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good evening. A warm welcome to all of you. And I pray you've been blessed with the message you've heard tonight. We also welcome our guests and visitors, our brothers and sisters from East Bay as well, who are gathered with us this evening. It's wonderful to have all of you here for our worship service. I'm sorry that we weren't able to use the normal entryway. Please do stay out of the entryway tonight. It's still drying, and they don't need any dirt on the floor before they lay the last bits of the vinyl tile. You are welcome to walk through the fellowship hall and take a look at that. You can even look in the admin office, but don't walk into the pastor's office either. That just got laid about 20 minutes before we started church tonight, so they just finished that off right before we started the service this evening. So take a look. It looks great. Looks like a brand new building. I had to make sure I didn't walk into the wrong church when I walked into the fellowship hall tonight. This is our church. All right, this is great. They are anticipating they will be done on Friday, so it's likely that we'll be able to have Saturday to help move stuff back into place. Sunday also after church if we are able to and have time or have volunteers or if it's needed, if we don't finish everything on Saturday. So keep an eye out for an email of start times for Saturday and also for Sunday. We'll need help of all kinds. If you feel like you can't lift that file cabinet right there, no worries. We'll need people to put a lot of the felt bumpers on the bottom of things. Everything's going to have protectors and things like that. So there's a lot of work to be done before we get things back in order. And since we have an open house for our school next Thursday?
Yes.
Next Thursday?
A week.
Yeah. We'd like to have it back in order as much as possible for a good showing for our open house. For the rest of the week, tomorrow we have a church council and elders meeting via Zoom at 7:15. I mentioned the workday on Saturday. There'll be an email going out for the start time for that. This Sunday, Bible class, usual time of 9 a.m., worship service at 10 here in Mountain View. The women's auxiliary and our workday will take place after the service on Sunday. For East Bay and Hayward, our worship service is at 1 p.m. as usual. This Sunday, we'll be having our church council meeting at 2 p.m. I believe those are all the announcements I have. Are there any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.